Well, here we are. We've waited long for it. I remember in March 2020 when we were breaking up, we thought, well, if we go into lockdown, you know, it could be like 6 or 7 weeks before we get to meet again. Maybe as far as the summer, but here we are a year and a half later. And I'm sure as we gathered today in this place and thought about this weekend and coming here, there was probably a whole bunch of mixed feelings going round in our heads. Maybe that's just me and I've got to confess to it. You know, but all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, I really want to see folk again. I really want to sing. As most of you know, I'm a prison chaplain, and we've been able to sing in the jail for months now. And honestly, getting the guys down, it's all males, obviously, and just being able to sing again a few months ago, just I didn't realize how much I'd missed it until we were doing it. And maybe that was your experience a wee bit this morning as well. And but yeah, as we're thinking and looking forward to these things, and it's going to be great just meeting in the Mayfield and being together. At the same time, there's a bit of trepidation because obviously I think, oh no, services start at 10:30. We're going to have to go down and set up PA systems. That was just Kevin thinking that. And get the tea and coffee stuff out. And then afterwards, we have to put it all away again and we'll drive home. And Graham always speaks for far, far longer in real life than he does ever in Zoom. And I'm going to have to take off my pajama bottoms and dress in the bottom half. And I'm sure all these things were going round, you know, we could get up at 11:15 and just comb our hair and switch on Zoom, and we were there, and some of you looked as if that's what you had done. Some of you didn't even make that much of an effort, David, but that's okay. It was good to see folk there, but we come with a whole, and even coming out of lockdown, do you know what I mean? During the first lockdown, we were all, I can still embarrass you when we're not in Zoom, David, it's not just pick on you. Although we don't have that. Can we get camera features here so we can actually just like get David up on the big screen and just like pin his camera? No, we can't. We can try to do these things. And you guys are all wishing you had your mute buttons back and all the rest of it. But no, you can't stop me unless you just collapse on the ground. And even then, I might probably just keep going. I'm waffling. What was I talking about a minute ago? Yeah, even coming out of lockdown, you know, we the first few weeks, I had the reverse experience, as you probably know from everybody. Everybody went into lockdown. And they're all thinking, yeah, no school, don't have to go to work. It's like the sun was shining. Remember the first few weeks of way back March last year? It was a glorious springtime, and folk were great. And I was thinking, oh, heck, I'm the only one. Prison worker, essential worker. It's the first time in my life a chaplain's been essential, but it was the essential worker and having to go to work every single day. And I must admit, in the early days, I was a wee bit grudging it. I thought, I've got to get up and go to work, and everyone else lies in bed. It was nice having empty, deserted streets to drive to work. The place was absolutely deserted, but I was, I'd have to come to work. Everyone's getting a fortnight off. And then after 3 weeks and 4 weeks and 5 weeks, when I saw the people were locked down, starting to bang their heads off the wall, I'm thinking, ah, it's great. I can get out and keep my normal routine, go to work every day, see different people, go to work, come home at night, and I really began to love it. I had the reverse experience for everybody else to some extent. And then we started coming out of lockdown, and we went through the whole lockdown period, didn't we, of thinking, oh, this is terrible. You can't see people. You can't meet up with family. You can't meet up with our neighbours and meet for a coffee with people. This is ridiculous. And then by last summer, they started to ease some of the restrictions. And all of a sudden, oh, heck, got to go and visit the family. Got to have friends around for dinner again. Oh, you went a full swing, didn't we? We went from the early days of really missing it to the latter point of thinking, the thought of having to see people again, the thought of having to cook dinners and dressing up to go out. But lockdown has paid its toll on many, many people. And I'm not just talking about the infection and those who have been seriously unwell and those who have obviously lost loved ones and friends and family. But it's paid our toll on probably most of us, actually. And there's just a sense of weariness on the nation. Maybe the world, but I can't speak beyond really Britain. There's a sense of weariness, a sense of tiredness. This has gone on for 18 months, and we've had to cope as a people with massive, massive change. We've had to give up loss. We've gone through a bereavement to some extent, not just to say of loved ones we've lost, but just of life, how it used to be. When we look back now, it seems like it was relatively carefree, and we just did everything without thinking about it. And now all of a sudden, we've got to think about masks and hand washing and social distancing and what's on and what's not on and how easy it is to go places. And there's just a tiredness and a heaviness upon folks. I don't know if anyone can identify that. And again, as I say, even the thought of coming to church, just a sense of really glad we're starting back again, but You forget how hard it is. Even Stuart was saying that this morning, having to look out music, make up PowerPoint presentations, work out how the microphone systems work. We're glad to do it, but it's just a... You identify with that? And so I thought I would read these verses. These seemed most appropriate from Matthew's Gospel. The words will appear on the screen. Which is a really bit of a strange chapter, Matthew 11. We won't look at it, but Jesus has spent most of the chapter looking at all these villages that have shut their doors to him, who have refused to believe and refused to welcome him. And it's like, woe is you, and woe is you, city, and it's worse for Sodom and better in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's going to be, it's like, whoa, Jesus, who's rattled your cage? And then all of a sudden, at the end of it, we read these verses, it says, at that time, after Jesus had got everything off his chest, all these villages that were really being so resistant to his love and his mercy and his grace and his presence and his bringing of the Father, this is what he says. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. He's not talking about children in age there. He's talking about people that just come with gentle, humble, simple trust in him. Yes, Father, he says, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father, he says. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses or decides to reveal him. And then these verses are our verses, I think, for today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read those verses again, and let's read them as they are, the voice of our Lord himself, speaking to whoever chooses these verses to apply to. It's one of these invitations that's thrown out to anybody who will simply pick it up and come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Or Tom Wright, one of my favorite writers, he translates the New Testament, and this is how he translates these verses. Are you having a real struggle? Come to me. Are you carrying a big load in your back? Come to me, and I will give you rest. Pick up my yoke and put it on. Take lessons from me. I'll be gentle with you. The last thing in my heart is to give you a hard time. You'll see. Rest you need, and rest you shall have. My yoke is easy to wear. My load is easy to bear. I wonder if many of us are just feeling heavy load. And why don't we just almost do a little self-reflection right now? I was struck, and it was a random verse. I was listening to a podcast thing, I won't go into detail, and it was just a bit about Moses up, first encounter with God in Mount Sinai. And it was really these verses that struck out me with me and stuck with me for some reason, where God says to Moses, because Moses said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go and speak to Pharaoh and lead your people to safety? What can I possibly do? I can't even speak properly, is what he said. And God says to a question to him, he says, Moses, what have you got in your hand? And it turns out it was a staff, and then God uses what was in Moses' hands. But for some reason, it's really struck me, even as we come to worship this morning, folks, what's in your hands? What are you carrying right now in life? What burdens are you dragging along in life? And I want to answer that for yourself right now. Just almost picture your hands and picture each one of them as a rock. What are you carrying? Some of us are perhaps carrying guilt. You know, it's terrible, isn't it? Churches can be really bad for guilt. But maybe you're even coming for guilt. Maybe you're thinking, gosh, I can't believe how much my spiritual life has struggled in the last 18 months without church. Here I come to worship, and if people only knew how bad my prayer life had been, oh, it was good at the start, but I've struggled to pray, and I've struggled to read my word, and I've struggled to care about my neighbours, and I've been doing stuff that I know I shouldn't have been done, and how quickly I've slipped back into old ways. Is that a rock that you're carrying, just that guilt, that shame? Maybe you're carrying a rock of ill health. All of us are 18 months older since we last met. And we're all on a one-way road in terms of our health and struggle, but some folks here are really, really dealing with health issues. It might be major health issues. Maybe life-threatening health issues. Or it may just be something that, in the grand scheme of things, isn't even all that major, but it's annoying, it's wearying, it's tiring. It's preventing you from doing all the things you used to do. What are you carrying, health-wise, financial-wise? What's your work life been like the last 18 months? How's your financial situation? Many, many people in our nation have struggled through COVID. Many, many people are in far worse financial situation than they were at the start of this. And for the worst in our society, isn't it a shame that as one of the richest nations in the world, we couldn't let people have 20 quid more? But that's just by the way. What are you carrying financially? What are you carrying burden-wise for your family? What's going on in your wider family life? What are your kids up to? What's happening in their marriages and relationships? What's happening in our own relationships? What's happening in our workplaces? Then what other burdens are we carrying we don't even realize? What other burdens are we carrying from every time we switch on the news? Shortages, crises, pain, poverty, sickness, death, war, disaster. Shortages, sickness, 18 months. What has that done to us? What are you carrying? Social media. It's become one of the most scary, vitriolic, spiteful, divisive, intolerant, horrible places on earth. Maybe you've even been stung by that or sucked in with that. Or just feel that drone that every time you see something, even somebody posting an innocent Christian comment or nice comment, and then it's just the barrage of nonsense that follows. Is it just me or does that get wearying? What are you carrying this morning, folks? What are your burdens? Jesus looked out and he saw people who were heavily, heavily burdened. They were under oppression, under Roman occupation. Life was hard. Making ends meet was hard. And he got so frustrated that as they came to demonstrate and show and tell of the Father's love, the Father's passion for people, that town after town and village after village were shutting the door to that message, intellectualizing it. We don't need him. We don't even believe in God. Don't think he is the Messiah. I'm not sure he is the Son of God. Think he's mental. Needs to go and see a mental. Honestly, Even Jesus must have got wearied with it, but he got so frustrated. This is why he has this list of, woe to you villages, you're closing your door to your only help of grace and strength and help from above. You're closing off your own lifeline. It's not that Jesus is judging and condemning these people. He's saying you're actually throwing back the life jacket that's actually been thrown to you as you drown. What hope are you ever going to have? And he says, come to me, all you who are heavy, weary, burdened, tired, exhausted with life. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, see all these burdens you've got? Get rid of them. Get yourself sorted. Get yourself fixed. Lay them down. Then come to me. Only come to me when you're good, and only come to me when you're spiritually high, and only come to me when you're sin-free, and only come to me. No, he doesn't say any of these things. He says, all ye people that are carrying all that heavy load, come to me with your heavy loads. Come to me with your guilt. Come to me with your shame. Come to me with your struggles. Come to me with your disappointments. Come to me with your failings. Come to me with your broken health. Come to me with all these. Just come to me. He doesn't say, I'll take them all away. But he says, take my yoke upon you. I don't know if many people know what a yoke is. I brought a picture along of what a yoke is, Kevin. No, Kevin. Next picture. Thank you, Kevin. Not talking about an egg, obviously. It's talking about a yoke that cattle used to wear. And it took two people to wear a yoke. Not just one person. Jesus said, come to me and I'll put a big, heavy thing over your head. He comes and says, look, here's my yoke. It's almost like a garment. You've seen the next picture, how it's actually used. And two cattle, and I'm told, and I don't remember these days, Frank will, but you know, when back in the days when they used these things, they would often, very often, they would pair up a stronger oxen with a weaker oxen, or an older one with a younger one, one who was more learned and experienced with one who was younger. And you know what? They would share the loads. They would share the load. And Jesus is just coming saying, guys, when you live in this world, he says it elsewhere, guys, when you live in this world, you'll have troubles. And when you live in this world, you'll have persecutions. And when you live in this world, you're going to have hardships. People say that to me all the time in jail, the guys in jail. And they're good questions. But, you know, if God was this, why do people starve? And if God's this, why do people die of cancer? And if God's this, why is there people starving? And I'm saying you're getting this all wrong. You're thinking we're living in heaven. One day these things will be gone and God will be on the throne. We pray that prayer. We even prayed it this morning. Your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But we don't live there right now. We're living in a broken world that's in rebellion to God of love. And so Jesus says, as long as you live in this world, you will have hardships. But get on my side, he says. I'm trying to make things right, and I'm trying to make things good, and I'm trying to make things new again. Who will stand with me? Who will fight with me? Who will struggle with me? Who will make a difference in their own place and situation and community? Who will try to make things right? We can't change the world, but maybe you can change your life. We can't change all the problems in the world, but maybe you can make one person a day's life a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit nicer, just by your actions. You're off on a tangent already. I forget I do that. Jesus says, come, take my yoke. Let me help carry the burden. Elsewhere, does it not in the epistles, cast all your cares onto Jesus, because he cares for you. Come, he says, come. It's the only thing we have to do. Nobody's excluded. Doesn't matter how many rocks and how big a burden you have, nobody is turned aside. The only people that Jesus doesn't receive are the people who have chosen to reject him. The only thing we have to do is come. Come, not come to church. Although very often he hangs out here. In many churches he doesn't. So. Don't come to church. Come to him. Come to him. Come to me, he says. All you are weary and heavy laden. For he will help us carry the loads. And he will teach us how to live. I love the bit at the start of that passage where he thanks his father. He says, Father, I thank you in a world where it always seems to be the rich and the powerful and the famous that get all their own way. I thank you didn't just come to the learned and the wise, the powerful and the got it all togethers of life. He says, I thank you you've come to show it to the children, the broken, the hurting, the ones that didn't do too good at school, the ones who sometimes struggle to understand things in the Bible. Jesus says, Father, you've come for all of us. Because it's about the love of a child and the love of a father. And even when we don't understand it all, and even when we can't make sense of it all, and even sometimes when we have intellectual struggles with it all, we still come and say, Dad, I don't understand it all, but I choose to trust you. Thank you, Father, Jesus says, that you haven't set the bar so high that only the best can accomplish, but you've set it low, so low that sometimes those who are away up there are too proud to stoop. The bar set low for you, for me, for the strugglers, for the burden bearers, for the ones for whom life is hard. Come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Our time has gone. Why don't we just take a few moments? I encourage you to close your eyes. Don't have to. Not going to pick your pockets. I'd encourage you to even lay out your hands. I'd like to encourage to even visualize some of the burdens you are carrying right now. And if you can, picture Jesus standing before you with his arms open, saying to you, you, calling your name, come to me. Open your life to me. Open your heart to me. Submit to me. Let me carry the burden. Let's be yoked together. And let's do life together. Why struggle on your own when I can help you carry this load? Just picture yourself just giving some of these burdens over to the Lord. Let me help you, he says. Don't hide any of them away in shame and embarrassment. Just give them to him. You don't have to carry them anymore. Holy Spirit, show us how to come to you, to surrender to you, to be yoked to you, to learn from you, and to enter rest. To enter rest and peace and lightness of spirit and joy. Jesus' name we pray.